This is a Glass Box Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of This Week in Travel, the only weekly travel podcast which has devolved into a quarterly travel podcast. I am your co-host. My name is Gary Arndt, here on a surprisingly warm December day in Minneapolis. With me again, as usual, the man responsible for us not recording so many episodes, Mr. Chris Christensen.
Okay, that is true, at least for the last one. I do need to apologize. The last one, honestly, we had a time scheduled and I was asleep. I was just recovering from jet lag from God knows where, and slept through a recording of This Week in Travel. And with our travel schedules, it's just been hard to schedule us getting on at the same time. And Jen has been surprisingly hard, which usually she's the easiest one to schedule, I think, in terms
of
travel
schedule.
I've
actually been traveling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's the deal, Chris? Because the whole, oh, I'm traveling so much I can't be on the show, that's my shtick. And you're kind of stealing it.
Yeah, it's been a busy travel year. I think I figured out that by the end of the year, because I've still got 3 trips left this year, I will have been away from home 142 nights, which is a little more than I thought.
Chris, does that qualify you for some kind of international residency program?
No. Nowhere close.
That inquisitive voice you hear is, of course, Jen Leo.
Good morning,
How
everybody.
Are you doing, Jen?
Great to get the band back together. I'm happy to talk to y'all. And yes, I've been traveling too. I've been to Mexico City, England, and Malta since we've last spoke.
Why Malta?
Husband had a speaking gig there, and so we were there on Thanksgiving.
What island?
Okay, there's more than one.
That was actually, I had the same question. I haven't been to Malta.
That's all we need to know about Jen's trip to Malta.
Exactly. I was just going to say I had Thanksgiving dinner at Wagamama.
Wagamama.
Wagamama. Illustrious Wagamama. All right, moving on.
What is Wagamama?
You haven't heard of Wagamama? You haven't dined there at London Heathrow at least once?
No.
No.
Oh, it's an Asian noodle house.
Oh, okay.
But popular in, the first time I went to Wagamama was in London Heathrow, I think.
What terminal?
I was excited.
So I'm flying
What terminal? I haven't been that many times. I don't know. The clean one?
The clean one. I don't think there's a dirty one in London Heathrow. But
An international one.
Okay. There is a local one that looks like Habit Trails, but other than that, I don't think there's a dirty one in London Heathrow.
All right, then. Our guests for the first time on the show are Marilyn and Matt from Words with Winos. They got a podcast, they got a website, and you guys are in Italy right now?
Yes, that's correct.
Excellent. Nailed it. how are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're just chilling, and it's 5:30 p.m. here, and we're drinking some wine.
And, yeah. Hence the winos in our title.
Yes, the name of your website, your podcast is Words with Winos, and just want to let you guys know, you can get help for that. you could easily, and I'm sure Words with Sober People is available. just something you might want to think about.
That's no fun.
So you're actually, not only do you drink wine on your own travel podcast, but you're drinking wine on our travel podcast.
That is correct. Very good, Jen.
Consistency.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
I
completely misunderstood. I thought that they were interviewing winos. I really got this wrong when we invited them. So.
And I just want to say how deeply, deeply offended I am that somebody is drinking on this podcast, because that has never happened before. Never.
Who's guilty of drinking?
Let's get started on news from this quarter. because we haven't done a show in a while. And the last show we did, we didn't talk about news. One of the more interesting ones is that American Airlines had a computer problem, and they gave all their pilots leave during Christmas week. This is actually really similar to a problem I think Ryanair had recently, where they screwed up and kind of like gave too many pilots time off, and then they had to kind of bring them back from vacation. Has anyone heard how they're resolving this?
The last story I saw said that they had gotten a lot of the flights scheduled. So this was like 15,000 flights were scheduled to take off without a pilot. And they were down to hundreds. So they're making a lot of progress. But the problem is they were in the midst of some negotiation with the pilots union in the first place. And part of the dispute was over holiday pay. And so the pilots are like, you know, hey, they're not really stepping up to take the offer that the company has to fly these flights because they were already in some dispute with them anyway.
It's just beautiful irony. Do you think this is a real story, or do you think the pilots got together and hired a hacker to hack into the system to say it was a glitch, but really they all just wanted to have time off?
No. No, we've had so many of these stories. United managed to screw up within the last 2 years, ground all their flights because, again, a problem with the scheduling system. What happens often is you've got, now Air American hasn't done a recent merger. United, you could probably blame it on the fact that they had done a merger and they were still, you know, moving systems and things like that. But these systems tend to be pretty old. They tend to be old mainframe systems in many cases, and we're just seeing them fail quite often over the last couple of years. This is not an unusual story, strangely enough.
Chris, it makes for a much better movie plot if it's a cyber attack.
Yeah. Oh, I thought we were going for a Christmas movie. So I just had a... I thought this was the Santa Claus 3. But
I don't think this was a computer glitch. I'm sure there was a human being that pressed the wrong key or something somewhere along the way.
Well, clearly there was no safeguard in there to say, you know, hey, did you just... give all the pilots time off at the same time. I just think it's hilarious.
Does anybody have any family that's flying in or you guys are flying out that week?
We are flying earlier and coming back later, but we're traveling.
Okay. I have family flying in, but I think they usually fly JetBlue. Any JetBlue hacks, Chris?
Not that I have seen, not recently. But they have a newer system, so they would. They, I don't think, have had news over the last, you know, say 5 years that I can recall, about issues in theirs.
My JetBlue hack is to just type root as the username, no password.
That's a Mac news story. We've got a lot of travel news stories we should do instead. But if you have a Mac, search what he just said.
I missed
it's
it.
It's been fixed.
Well, yep.
United Airlines is going to be auctioning off Boeing 747 hardware to their frequent flyer program members. So you can spend your miles on actually having your own economy class seat that you can put in your house to sit in for hours at a stretch and not move. You can get deep vein thrombosis right in your own house. You can get a standby airspeed indicator. You can get a forward-facing American flag cutout or a rear-facing American flag cutout, a brake pressure indicator, a ram air inlet, or an oxygen pressure indicator, all for points. Amazing.
And don't...
I feel like they just have a bunch of stuff in their warehouse, and they're just like, well, what do we do with it? Okay,
well, yeah,
let's just give it away.
They stopped flying 747s, so they apparently took one apart for parts, and they're giving it away to their... to their frequent flyer members. Actually, I liked this story because it said to me, we're moving on, right? We loved the 747, but we're moving on. But we know that a lot of you loved it. We're going to basically kind of celebrate that we are not flying them anymore. And I think this was kind of a clever PR move. I don't know if anybody ordered the Ram Air inlet for a 747 for home, but I would not be surprised, honestly.
How many points does it take, guys?
I didn't see. I went to look on the points system after I saw this story, and I never quite found the link on the United frequent flyer miles to this. So I can't answer that question.
Well, I hope there's an entrepreneurial person out there that is getting a few of these and turning them into pedicure stations. I would love to have a travel-themed nail salon.
I would at least get first-class seats.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And you want an economy class pedicure? Really? Oh, and the thing is, the people getting a pedicure in front of you are like 24 inches in front of you. That would be the thing.
Well, 24 inches only if you're measuring, you know, seat pitch, which is the front of your seat to the front of their seat. Really, it's only like, you know, 2-3 inches. But
right.
Derek, you are extra funny this morning. We got to postpone the podcast for 2 months more often. I kid.
It just builds up.
The jokes. The zingers.
You're going to love the next one then. Two American tourists fined in Thailand for butt selfies at a temple.
So, you know, I capture some of these stories and I think this is a story that Jen would like. And then this one, this is a story that I thought Gary would pick.
And this was the one that you thought Gary would pick?
It was one of them, yes.
I just wonder if Trump is going to bail these guys out.
Oh, man. So what was the penalty? Butt selfies?
5,000 baht, $154.
Is $154. That goes a long way in Thailand.
Yeah. I mean, you can get a couple nights in a hotel or, you know, depending on what one you stay at or something.
Well, so in terms of doing a butt selfie, I think they were buttheads. So
I'm not seeing the link in our notes. So, Chris, in our show notes, are we going to have a link to the picture of the selfies?
They had a picture in the link somewhere. I saw the picture but it was fuzzed out. So
I can do you one better.
You're going to zap
it. They have an Instagram account called Traveling Butts. So traveling 2Ls _ butts on Instagram.
Oh my gosh. They do. Oh
yeah.
Chris typed it faster than I almost
typed it. I'm thinking, what the hell am I doing? I don't need to encourage this.
Why not? I want to see it. Wait, do they have a website too?
I don't think they've thought that out that far. But this is not the first time we have had this sort of story. The mooning girls in Cambodia that got arrested for this. It's not the first time.
No, in fact, last time we talked about this story, we talked about this new law that they were putting in a fine specifically because they were having this happen often enough in Thailand that they made it illegal.
I have no sympathy for them.
No.
None.
Well, have some sympathy for me because I couldn't get the site to Instagram to load. My computer is not doing any more browser windows. So
their Instagram was actually taken down.
Oh, interesting.
What?
Yeah, that's what the article said. It said they don't have it anymore.
Well, they got one now.
$200 to put it back up. I want to see it.
Right.
I'm looking at it right now. It's traveling _ butts. Maybe it's a new one, but they got 2,000 followers.
Yeah, the other one said they had like 17,000 or 14,000 followers, something like that. So maybe they canceled it and
could be a fake account.
Yeah, you're right. It could be a fake account. Yeah. Who knows?
But I guess they saved the photos, so they got that.
Oh, geez. Right. It's a San Diego couple.
No, you can't invite them on the next show.
A little too close to home. Oh, boy, these people.
No, I get it. They're trying to be funny, but I also think that if you look at a lot of their photos on the Instagram feed, a lot of them, not all of them, but there's a fair number that appear to be taken in temples or some sort of, you know, there's one taken in front of a cathedral, at least two that are taken in what looks like maybe temples in Asia or something.
I just saw the Instagram page. This is awful. Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, here's the word that I didn't know of. Kansas City Star is calling it a belfie. Not a selfie, but a belfie for butt.
I think that writers have this obsession with inventing new catchphrases and words. Like the person that invented staycation or glamping probably is just really proud. That's probably on their CV.
Well, this is funny the first time, but I definitely don't need to add this to my feed.
Speaking of travelers getting in trouble, Anthony Bourdain has been banned from going to Azerbaijan because he went to the breakaway region of Nagorno-Karabakh. And so for those, I know a little bit about this. So there's actually Nagorno-Karabakh is an Armenian region that was part of Azerbaijan when it was part of the Soviet Union. After they became independent, they broke away. And now we're closely related to Armenia, but Azerbaijan still claims it as a region. But they're claiming to be independent. And I know, for example, if you have a Nagorno-Karabakh passport stamp in your passport and you go to Azerbaijan, you can get arrested. They will actually throw you in jail for it. And anyone that actually says they go there without the permission of the Kazakh or the Azerbaijani government, as Anthony Bourdain found out, can actually be banned from returning to Azerbaijan. So it's a thing. But no one really recognizes Nagorno-Karabakh other than Armenia. So
it says there's a list of 700 people banned from both regions because they entered it without permission.
Yeah, I think it's primarily notable people. So if anyone's listening to this, you know, if you do go to Nagorno-Karabakh, and I know a bunch of people that have done it, just don't brag about it. That would be key, I think.
Or do like a TV show about it.
What's there to see, Gary? Do people go because of this mystique, or do they go
partially
because there's something to see?
You know, there's I can't think of it. There's like some statues that every time you see it, that's kind of like become the symbol of the region. But I think if you look at the list of people, for example, that have been banned, it's all like journalists and politicians. So it's notable people that they've bothered to do this to. I think that, yeah, if as long as you just don't announce it to the world, they're probably not going to care. That's it. But nonetheless, it's just something for people to know about, because there's only a few places on Earth that if you go to one place, you're banned or can get in trouble going to another place. For example, you know, if you go to Israel and you get a stamp on your passport, you can't go to certain Arab countries. And
you wouldn't get arrested by going there. You'd just be refused at the door.
Correct. And yeah, but this is actually probably the worst case of it, where if you go to Nagorno-Karabakh and then try to go to Azerbaijan, you can get arrested. So go to Azerbaijan first.
Gary, I would love to see an everything-everywhere post on for people who are trying to hit all these different places, so that if there's a routing that they need to go, like you said, they need to go to those Middle Eastern countries before they go to Israel so that they don't get blocked out of those other countries. I think that would be really interesting.
Well, in that case, you don't, that isn't what you need to do. You just need to get your passport stamp on a separate piece of paper.
Which for Israel, they do that by default now.
They do it grudgingly, in my experience. They grumbled about it, but, you know, they didn't have...
Oh, no. For me, when I went in, they gave me that... it's a printout. They put it in your passport, and that was
interesting.
The first time I went to Israel, that was in 2009, they actually stamped it. But now, they're kind of... I don't think they stamp anyone's passport anymore, just because of the problems they've had.
Interesting. The stamp I got in Singapore, which I was just in for the first time, I liked, was on a separate piece of paper, but they wanted to hand you a piece of paper that said, as you came in, warning, death for drug dealer, drug traffickers under Singapore law, which I thought was interesting.
I can't believe that people actually look at these stamps. It seems like when I pass through customs, they're not really reading the previous stamps. They're just sort of checking what's going on the computer screen. Do they flip through your book, Gary?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they want to know, you know, why were you in this country? It depends on the country. That's the biggest thing. So it's not, you know, if you're going to, you know, Canada, they may not be too worried about it. But if you're you know, like I said, if you're going to Israel and you have an Iranian stamp or something, or you've been there recently, they're probably going to question you about it.
I see.
Okay. I have an Uzbek visa in my passport. And when I went to Israel, they asked me about it. And I said, well, I'm a travel photographer. You know, I'm here for a conference. And they were like, okay. So yeah, it's something. And they'll also look when you leave a country, like when you leave the EU, they will just check to make sure that it squares up with when you arrived in the EU for the Schengen.
Sure.
How long you can stay. Or I think the same is true with Thailand or some other countries where you have a limited time in the country you get when you get – if you don't have a visa. Get a couple more news stories. I thought this one this is from Carry On, which is a travel industry website out of Australia. They're going to be opening up – or they have opened up, I guess, or they're working on it – a Hunger Games – theme park in Dubai. Yeah, so if you go there with your kids, you might not bring them all back.
I just want
more details. I want to know what it's going to look like.
They have.
Are they going to be makeup stations where they can, you know, dress you up into those crazy costumes?
I don't know. I mean, the whole premise is like it's a dystopia, right? So, you know, is it like the difference, you know, how the theme parks have different sections? It's like, oh, we're in District 12 right now. Everyone is poor and mines coal. Now we're in District 2. It's all about lumber.
Probably.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, it looks like you get to ride a bullet train to the Capitol. Hop on the Capitol bullet train.
But yeah, it's a show about children murdering each other. Who thought like, oh man, what a great idea for a theme park.
Maybe this is an adult theme park.
That's even worse.
For people who hate kids is what you're thinking?
No, I mean, you're not going to take your kids to it because of the topic, but you know, maybe this is a theme park where adults are going to go together because they love the movie so much.
I think if they were to make a theme park for adults, it would have a very different theme than the Hunger Games.
Right.
I think it would be pretty annoying to be there because everybody would be walking around doing the whistle.
This is a true story. There was a guy, I want to say this was in like the 50s or something, who was an architect and a designer, and he liked drinking a lot. And he designed this entire like city that was basically revolved around drinking alcohol. And there's like his sketches and stuff of it online. Like there was a gigantic tower with a martini glass on the top. And,
oh, up
like,
until that point, I was thinking we're talking Las Vegas, but okay.
No, this was like a legitimate thing. He wanted to create this city that was designed around drinking. And needless to say, it never went anywhere, but man. To be that devoted to drinking alcohol that you want to build an entire city to it where all the people in that city, and I don't think anything would ever get done, but
did they ever finish the city?
They never started it. But just seeing the ideas that this guy sketched out were interesting. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Gary, back to the Hunger Games thing, I've got something for you. Let's see if it works. Pushing play.
You could almost hear the whistling there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow, I don't know what that was, but
you couldn't hear it?
No.
Silence.
Oh, darn it. Sorry guys. That was the Hunger Games whistle.
Oh, okay.
The Mockingjay.
I wonder if they'll actually have birds flying around with like that whistle playing through a speaker, like attached to their ankles or something. That would be slightly terrifying.
I think they should just make it like the arena where like, oh, there's going to be a gigantic flood in 5 minutes. Everyone better find high ground.
Yeah, I think they'd get more tourism for the first movie though. So
I want Woody Harrelson to greet me at the gate.
Speaking of theme parks, and this will be the last one, Disney World is going to create Toy Story Land. Mm-hmm. I guess it's actually going to appear next year. It's going to open in the Hollywood Studios theme park in Florida. And it is completely dedicated to the Toy Story movies. And they look to have a roller coaster, the Slinky Dog, something-something, Woody's restaurant.
There's
kind of surprised they didn't do it sooner.
Yeah, there's an increasing number of rides in California Adventure, I think, that have Toy Story in them. There's one or two rides. Didn't they? I'm trying to remember. Did the Tower of Terror was replaced with something, but I don't remember what that was replaced with. But there's a ride like the Buzz Light. Well, there's the Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters over
That's
in Disneyland. But there's another ride in Toy Story, I thought. Toy Story, California Adventure.
I think you're right, but I don't remember because we're usually going to the Cars-themed ones.
Well, Cars Land is the most popular one right now.
And they have like a Bug's Life. Some stuff for Bug's Life.
Yeah.
And Ariel.
Oh, they have the Toy Story Midway is what they have at California Adventure.
Oh, okay. Right by the corn dogs.
Yep.
Did they open up their Star Wars thing yet?
No, that's still coming.
That'll be great.
Next
that's a
year
hotel
the year
and
after.
That's in Florida.
They're opening up Star Wars Land behind Adventureland in Disneyland as well.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, good. So I don't have to go way over there.
Yeah, it's way over where the old barbecue place was behind the mining. My Disney World knowledge. Thunder Mountain. Yeah.
Okay.
So the Big Thunder Mountain barbecue is one of the things that went away.
Well, there's a lot of old Disney movies that I think people have kind of forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a shift. I mean, they own the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They own Star Wars. All of these newer things that I think would be a bigger draw for people.
Right.
Can't they just re-release Bambi? I just want to see it on, buy it on iTunes.
They usually re-release those every 7 years.
They would have to do it with CGI. It would have to be in 3D.
Now you're thinking of Bambi Meets Godzilla. That's an entirely different movie.
Well, they're doing these live action versions now. So they did Beauty and the Beast.
That's right.
Like real actors. SNL did a thing once where they did the live version of Bambi, but it was The Rock as Bambi.
You're on fire today, Gary.
That is true.
Have you been drinking the wine?
No, I look, unless I'm at a conference or something, I never drink. I tell people this, they don't believe me. I'm really not a lush, unlike our guests.
Sorry.
See, I was just looking for the segue and Jen just handed it to me on a plate.
Perfect.
So tell everyone about what you guys do, what the podcast is about, and why Winos.
Sure. Well, about a year and a half ago, we started listening to podcasts. We were kind of late in the game, and we were doing a lot of traveling. We were spending a long time on buses, on planes, and we were getting sick of listening to music and reading books. So we decided to start listening to podcasts. And after a few weeks of listening to podcasts, I said to Marilyn that we should create our own. This seems easy enough. We have enough stories. We like to talk about our travels, and most of the time people don't really like to listen. So we thought we would just talk to a broader audience who might be interested in it. And we wanted to do something fun. We didn't want to just talk. We wanted to have like a certain theme to our podcast. And we decided, okay, we're going to get a bottle of wine, and we have to finish the bottle of wine before we finish the podcast. So the podcast doesn't end until the wine is finished.
Which is usually what, 2 hours?
No, it's usually about 50 minutes to an hour. So we're pretty quick.
But we did do one where it was like 30 minutes. So not sure if we're proud or embarrassed of that.
We did one that involved rum and Cokes, as I recall, but that was 2 hours long. So, and I don't remember how many rum and Cokes, Gary.
That sounds like a live taping. We usually do our drinking.
Yes, that was our live taping.
Well, one of the things I was interested in about talking to you guys about was your experiences teaching English abroad and online. Tell us some stories from that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have taught English in Thailand, South Korea, and well, I taught only a month in Vietnam, and we also teach online. So so Matt, do you want to tell a story about teaching English in Thailand?
Sure. So we went to Thailand because this is right after we graduated college. So we didn't really know what we wanted to do with our lives. We wanted to travel. We had no money. So based on research, our best option was to teach English with, you know, we had no other skills. So why not? We can speak English and they would hire us for that specific reason. So we got to Thailand in October 2014. And we didn't have any idea what we were doing. We signed up with this program called Island TEFL. They were supposed to find us a job. They were supposed to get us accommodation and really do everything for us and guide us through the process. So we actually paid them a fair amount of money to help us do this. And it was pretty much the only money we had saved up after finishing school. So when we got to Thailand, after a few weeks of going through this program, we realized a lot of the people who were at the program realized the whole thing was a scam kind of. And they actually took all our money and didn't find us any jobs. So we were stranded in Thailand. The first time we ever traveled abroad, stranded in this country, this foreign country, we didn't know the language, we didn't really know what to do, and we were kind of screwed for a moment, and we were a little nervous about if we should continue traveling or we should just head home. So what happened after that?
Yeah, we were just super, super bummed and nervous because we were promised these TEFL certificates and we didn't get those. We were promised a job, obviously didn't get those. We were promised all sorts of stuff and we got nothing. And so what we did was we actually went to Craigslist out of complete desperation. And we luckily found a job in Chonburi, which is like an hour and a half west-ish from Bangkok. And we just like found the job. We Skyped with someone that was that worked for them. And then we got the job. And like 2 days later, we started working there. And it really, really worked out. We were horrified at first, of course. But yeah, so then we finally found a job and we ended up working there for 6 months.
Let's back up just a little bit here. You mentioned TEFL and we didn't. Excuse me, you didn't describe, couldn't figure out how to pause that in the middle of a sneeze. You didn't mention why you would want one of those and what that is.
Right, I'm sorry. So a TEFL certificate is teaching English to foreign learners. Mm-hmm. And it's a certificate that you have to like practice teaching and take a course on it basically, just to prepare yourself to teach English. Teach English abroad in different countries. So you really want that so you can get at least a decent job teaching in almost any country. A lot of jobs require that certificate.
A lot of the better jobs that are not fly-by-night scams.
Exactly.
Well, and a lot of people will get it here, but you thought that it was this cheaper option to get it abroad. Do you now know of a better place if somebody wanted to do this? Should they get it before they leave, or is there a better place that's not a scam?
Yeah, there are tons of places that that give out TEFL or TESOL, all those certifications to teach English. We actually got a real one through Arizona State University. We did that online. It was a TESOL. We were able to get that, would do that for free based on another job we had. But I think it's about, do you know how much it is to do that online? Yeah, we don't know. But it could be a little pricey. Like you can end up paying like in the thousands of dollars to get this certification. I would say most programs are legitimate. We were just young and naive and ignorant and really didn't know what we were doing at the time. But now that we're more experienced, we know if you just simply Google search like how to get my TEFL certification, there are many legitimate programs to do that.
Yeah, and you should honestly go to the countries that maybe you want to teach in, mainly because what we did was we took our certification, like that course, online. So we didn't get to meet with anyone. We didn't get to see it all in action. And we just kind of were like, oh, online, how easy. This is great. And I'm sure that there are companies that do it online. They're legitimate. But we were totally fooled. So I would personally suggest finding one that you go to the country. I know, for example, Prague in the Czech Republic. I know a few people that have gone there and gotten their TEFL certificate there and gotten that experience. And it was legitimate. So you kind of have to... I would suggest go to the countries that maybe you want to teach in or teach near or something. And then it's more legitimate and honestly a fun experience too.
I want to teach in Canada.
I don't know. I don't know if you can.
About.
They're weird.
Right.
Doing an episode of Amateur Traveler coming up on Quebec. Remember, there are places in Canada where English is a foreign language, or at least it is not the primary language. So that is not as strange as it seems. And the cost at the University of Arizona for the program, the TEFL program, TEFL, is $1,650 plus a $50 application fee. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Excellent. So are you teaching now in Italy?
Yes, we actually now have an online teaching job where we teach English to students in China. So, you know, we have the title of being digital nomads. So we pretty much take our computers and teach wherever we have decent enough internet. So, yeah, right now in Italy, we are teaching English via our computers.
You have a teaching job of teaching English in China from Italy. Well, that just seems brilliant, actually. Have you spent any time in China?
No, zero time. In Asia, we were in Thailand, South Korea, Vietnam, and Japan for a while, but we never made it to China. And we, you don't need any affiliation with China. Most of the teachers who work for the company live in the U.S. and never probably left the country.
Right.
So my husband stayed at an Airbnb in Eastern California on his way to somewhere else. And the people that he stayed with did this online teaching English thing. And I think it was a decent living for people who did not need much. How does it work? Like, how many clients do you have? How much commitment do you have to do? How many hours do you do in a day? Like, how the classes, how booked up are you?
So basically what the job is, you teach children from the ages from, anywhere from like maybe 4 years old to 14 years old. And it's a one-on-one course, and you teach a student for 25 minutes at a time. And you don't create any of the lessons. They already created all of these PowerPoints for you. So okay. What you do is you just kind of sign into this class and you upload the PowerPoint that's already there for you. And you teach one student for 25 minutes what is already pre-prepared for you. And for the pay rate, it kind of depends on like maybe your experience and stuff like that. So you could make anywhere from like 17 US dollars to 22 or 23, really depending, dollars so per hour. So yeah, you can work one class and make $8 or $9 for just 30 minutes, 25 minutes really. So it really works out.
Now, economically, it seems like it would make more sense to live in China and be teaching Italians English, where you might get paid more money and you'd have to spend less money, but they don't have as good a wine in China. Is that really why we're in Italy?
Well, the reason we're in Italy right now is we're doing a house sit where we're babysitting two dogs in Via Reggio, Italy. It's in Tuscany, like 20 minutes from Pisa. We can basically move anywhere. And what we do is move anywhere that we can afford. I mean, our salary is good enough where we're able to live in, I would say, like 85% of the world. Really, if we really haven't had any trouble with money anywhere we've gone. I'm from New York City, and I know with my salary, there's no way at all I would be able to get an apartment and have a good life with my salary from VIP Kid. But we're able to basically move in a good portion of the world and not have any financial issues.
And you mentioned from VIP Kit, that's who you're working for?
Yeah, if we didn't mention that. Yes, it's VIP Kit. That's the name
it's
of the company.
It's the wine. We'll blame it on the wine.
Actually, that's a kind of a brilliant gimmick, because anything you do in your podcast that you regret later, it's like, oh, wine.
We might do that embarrassingly often. Whoops.
Well, and just clarification, VIP Kid, K-I-D, I'm not finding that website.
Yep, it says VIP Kid Teachers Portal.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yep, that's it.
That's where we log in and start teaching.
Okay.
Yeah. Over the course of my travels, I've met a lot of people that have done quite well teaching English. Oftentimes at like private schools in South Korea or China. They live there, of course, but they were able to make a lot of money in a very short period of time.
Yes, you can also, you know, we obviously teach English on the computer, so that's a little bit different. But you can definitely go to schools in like China. You can go to even Japan and many places, especially in East Europe and even East Asia and Europe. And you can just teach English. And a lot of places like China and Japan and Thailand and places, they'll give you stipends. Or just pay your rent for you. They'll pay for your airfare. They'll give you health care and all sorts of great stuff and a visa. And it really works out because they cover all of those costs for you and you just go and work. And then you also have a salary on top of it. And it's really, really nice.
I was curious. One of the things you said earlier is you graduated from college with no marketable skills. I was just wondering how your parents felt about that.
Well, a few months before I graduated, I mentioned to my parents how I wanted to travel. I told them I'm going to go teach English in a foreign country. They didn't really believe me. They were like, okay, yeah, do whatever you want. And then when we made the decision, like, okay, we're doing it. And they were a little stunned and a little, you know, shocked and upset about what we were doing. They're worried about, you know, if we were going to be safe, if we were going to be okay with money. And now, over 3 years later, I mean, we're doing the same thing. And I think they stopped worrying a little bit. I mean, obviously, they still worry about being in certain countries and all the things you hear on the news. But I think now they're more confident in our ability to successfully do what we've been doing.
So they would feel better if you were in Iceland than Syria.
Absolutely.
Undoubtedly.
The story we didn't do about what are the safest countries versus the least safe countries. Yeah. Interesting.
Right.
So what's on store in the future for you guys? Now that you're doing this on a computer and not having to be in the place you're teaching English.
Yeah, I mean, we're always kind of trying to figure out what we're doing next. We spend more time trying to figure out where we're going to move to next and how we're going to do it more than actually enjoying where we are currently. And I mean, that's not always a good thing, but that's the way it is sometimes with this type of lifestyle, I guess. There's an echo.
Oh, sorry, it's me. Hold on, plug it back in.
We thought it was us.
230 podcasts, but we still get some things wrong. Okay.
That's okay.
It's okay.
I was queuing up Quora, and I thought if I took my earbuds out that, you know, we could, I was just queuing her up, getting her ready, but it sounds like we're going to have to keep these in. Okay.
All right, cool. So yeah, we're always kind of trying to figure out what to do next. And right now we're in Italy, just enjoying ourselves, taking care of two dogs. We don't really have much time to travel while we're here because we're constantly taking care of the dogs, feeding them, making sure they're okay. But after this, we're going home for the holidays to New York. And then after that, we have to go back to Prague, which we've been living in for the past year.
We have to go back to Prague. It's a dirty, thankless life, but somebody's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it. Exactly. So we got to go back there. We have to actually pay taxes through their country because we technically are working for their,
economy.
Yeah, I mean, we're working. We technically have online jobs, but we're paying taxes and paying for social insurance and health insurance through their government. So we have to go deal with that. And then after that, the plans are kind of up in the air. So that's kind of the lives we live, just always figuring out what's coming next.
So when we talk about doing something like teaching English as a second language, and one of the things you learned is you actually did have a marketable skill, which is you were native English speakers, but hadn't originally thought of that as one of the marketable skills you had. But you found that out. But then you're doing what some of us are doing and have done for years, which is you're doing a blog and podcast and things like that while doing a full-time job, which has its own challenges just in terms of time and things. How much time does the teaching English as a foreign language give you for your other projects? Obviously, you'd love to make Words with Winos be the thing that pays the bills or something else potentially, but how much time do you have to work on things like that?
Our job allows us to pretty much work as little or as much as we want. So okay. We could, you know, take a vacation whenever we want, or we could just work for 12 hours straight if we wanted each day, every day, just because of, you know, the children have to sleep at some point, and, you know, we can't work 24 hours a day. So we're able to work 12 hours each day. So basically we're able to make our own schedule, and it really works out because, you know, some days we'll work a lot and some weeks we'll work a lot. Some months we'll work a lot just so we can save up and travel and work really hard on our blog and our podcast as well. So it really works out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's quite different from people we know who, you know, went to China, got a job teaching English, which is a job. I mean, you get there in the morning, you have your lunch in the cafeteria and you go home at night and then you do whatever you're trying to do afterwards, whether it be travel or podcasting or something else. So yours is a little different from that.
Yeah, definitely. It gives us a lot more free time than if we worked at a school, because we did work at schools before this in Thailand and South Korea, and we really had no time to do anything. By the time we got home, we were exhausted. We would maybe exercise, eat dinner, and then pretty much go to bed. But now we have tons of free time to work on our blog and our podcast. And yeah, like Marilyn said, sometimes we're just focused on work and saving up money for our travels. And then sometimes we take a few days off just to focus on our blog and podcast. So we can really even them out pretty nicely.
Hey, Marilyn, I noticed in your Skype picture, you have a little kid in the background. Is that someone who you've taught English to, or is that your own kid, or?
I have zero children, but I actually taught in Vietnam for about a month before I started working for VIP Kid. And I was just at a school, and somehow I went to the wrong school the wrong day, and I was just there waiting for a taxi to come pick me up. It was a mess. And there were these children that I did teach a couple hours before then, and they were all playing on the playground, and I took out my phone, and they were all just kind of like looking around and looking at my phone and seeing what I was doing, and I just started like taking pictures with them. And that was just my favorite picture, because that girl was adorable. She didn't speak any English, but she was really, really sweet, and she like was such a cute little kid, so I like that picture a lot.
Super cute.
Right.
Now, Jen, I have been told that we have an extra special guest on this week's show.
We do. We do have a special guest. Let's see if it's going to work to see if you can hear her. This is Cora, who we've heard mentioned on this podcast several times, my travel buddy and my daughter. And she just turned 9 this week. Cora, say hi to everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear her okay?
Yeah, we hear her great.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we wanted to bring Cora on because she actually got her first travel writing assignment this summer, and thought we would ask her how she felt about it and the things that she did. Cora, you want to start telling us about your experience?
I thought that they would start first.
Well, we've been talking for an hour. Oh, you want them to ask you questions?
Yeah, and have them start.
Okay, Chris, maybe you can ask Cora some questions.
Cora, I've been trying to get some travel writing gigs. I'm wondering if you could tell me how you managed to do this, because I haven't been successful.
Well, my mom has been on many travel assignments, and there was this woman who really liked hers, and when my mom mentioned about me being in most of them, well, not really most of them, but a lot of them, someone said, "Hey, I really like what you do. I'm a big fan, and I was wondering if you could do a podcast for Fisherman's Wharf with Cora." and so, have Cora do it.
Oh,
and
so when
so
we...
that's how...
We thought you had done a writing assignment. You did a podcasting assignment.
Sort of both.
So we should be afraid that you're going to be taking over the show pretty soon.
Actually, she did do a writing assignment. And so they want to know about the article that you wrote for Fisherman's Wharf.
Ah.
So she wrote an article at visitfishermanswharf.com/kiddo. And the title is Curious Kiddo. And what she did is she wrote an itinerary for kids going to Fisherman's Wharf. So, Cora, maybe you can tell them some of the fun things that you did.
Well, one of the fun things is I stayed at a hotel called Hotel Zephyr on 2050 Beach Street. And
always good to plug the people who sponsor it.
They had so many games. And there was even a trailer on their patio that sold sweet treats and just little morning breakfasts and hot chocolate. And the games there at Hotel Zephyr were so fun. There was one room for games inside the hotel and more games on the outside patio. Some of these games that were inside, that were outside, and then there's a patio that had games outside, was a Kinect 4 that was taller than my mom, shuffleboard, a circular ping pong table, and more, and a giant Jenga.
That was where we stayed, and that was really
fun. That was where we stayed, yes.
Right. Okay, so now I'm not going to show you the article that you wrote so that you're not reading off of it. Tell us in your own words what were some of the funnest things that you did at Fisherman's Wharf.
Some of the funnest things I did at Fisherman's
Wharf. And Pier 39.
And Pier 39 was that I got to go to an...
Which one are you thinking about?
A rocket boat that goes really fast across the water and then just shows you places around Fisherman's Wharf or Pier 39. And then other fun things I got to do was the 370 experience, where it's like your chair moves and they put a screen in front of you and it's sort of like 3D, but you move with the action and you have guns and you try to shoot the bad guys, and that was really fun. And I also got to see a museum of collectibles from Ripley's Believe It or Not. I'm not sure if you heard of that, but it's a really famous book.
All right, let them ask you a question now.
Yeah.
So we're in San Francisco is the one thing we haven't said yet. It's San Francisco's Fisherman's Wharf.
Okay.
Yeah, and did you eat anything while you were there? Was there anything good to eat?
Yep, there was Dreyer's Ice Cream Shop, and I couldn't wait to go into there and eat it because they had some really unusual flavors and also my favorite flavor. So, yeah. That was one of the great places I got.
What is your favorite flavor?
My favorite flavor is cookie dough.
Excellent choice. What were some interesting flavors they had?
I can't really remember. All I remember is cookie dough.
Of course, I would too.
This was, I think, over the summer. This was in August, the beginning of August. But Cora, one of the things that most kids look forward to at Pier 39 is going to see the sea lions. What did you think about those guys?
They were really funny. They just slept and tried to push each other off of the deck and then just bowled to wake everyone up.
And did you do any shopping?
I did some shopping at Houdini's Magic Shop, where they just sell magic items and teach you about magic and show you magic.
All right, so
it's all just full of magic.
What do you think, Gary? You got any questions for Cora?
Gary Arndt here. This Week in Travel. You get to travel a lot with your parents. What's the favorite, your the most favorite trip you've ever been on?
The most favorite trip I've ever been on. Was probably.
A little faster.
Italy.
Italy. Mm-hmm. Where did you go in Italy?
We stayed, well, Siena and Florence.
Siena and Florence.
But there's a special reason why this why Italy is such a favorite place of Cora's. Cora, do you want to tell them why you love Italy so much?
I assumed it was because ice cream and the pizza.
Of course.
Yes, it was the ice cream, but when we got to have the ice cream was important. Ah. We got to have ice cream for breakfast there.
Yeah, what?
Because gelato shops are open at 9 in the morning. And I knew this because I had had gelato for breakfast on previous trips to Italy. So I told Cora when we were going there for a family reunion that she would be allowed to have gelato for breakfast.
Well, and Cora, we're always looking for the really good story and the good dirt. And since you're here, what's the most boring trip your mom ever took you on?
That would probably be, I don't know.
The most boring trip we've ever been on?
I don't know.
You sure?
Yeah, because there's just so many trips we've been on.
That were boring?
And I can't remember all of them, so.
What is the most interesting thing you've done in another country?
Is ziplining.
Yeah, where was that? Do you remember where that
was? In Costa Rica. Ziplining in Costa Rica.
Cora, how many countries have you been to?
Probably like over 10.
I don't know if Malta was 13 or 14.
Probably like over 10. Just saying that. Because so many, I can't even count them.
Well, there's a lot that you don't remember because we did a lot of them when you were 2.
Yes.
But you were in a different country last week. You were in 2 countries last week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell them where you were last week?
Last week, I was in London and Malta. Or Europe and Malta.
In That's Britain. Not too shabby.
That is more than I had been at that age.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've probably been, for the countries part, I've probably been to, just estimating, 14.
I think when I graduated college, I'd been to 2. So you're pretty fortunate, pretty lucky.
Well, do you have any countries that are on, what's your top 2 or 3 list? Where would you like to go next?
Maine.
Okay, that's a state. You know. But we'll put that. We'll
I
put
do
that.
I want to go to Maine. Though.
I know you do, but for countries, where do you? You've told me a couple of them.
You know, China.
Okay.
No, I mean, no, not that. I mean, Australia.
That's the one you've been telling me, and tell them why you want to go to Australia.
I want to go to Australia to experience what it's like there, and to also go to museums to hear about an animal called the Tasmanian tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people say they're extinct,
mm-hmm.
but there has been videos of them roaming in people's backyards.
So, well, everything down there is upside down because it's on the other side of the world.
Oh. Well, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Cora. Thank you for this nice recap of your travel writing assignment. Any other questions, guys?
You think you'd like to be a regular correspondent on This Week in Travel?
Can you be a regular correspondent on an irregular podcast?
Yes. By correspondent, he means, would you like to come on periodically to talk about your travels?
Sure. I guess so.
Excellent. I think this will look very good on your college application.
That's true. Okay. That's true. All right. Thank you for the opportunity, Gary. Say thank you and goodbye to everybody.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
There you have it.
That was great.
Yeah.
So are you gonna take her to the Hunger Games theme park?
Absolutely not. She's never even seen the movie.
Fair enough.
And I'm assuming she got paid for that assignment and is putting it all in a 401k.
Well, not 401k, but she is going to get paid for the assignment after we wanted to do this podcast first, and then we're going to fulfill our Twitter obligations on mommy's side of things. And then after that, she will send an invoice and she'll get paid. And I told her she could have half of it.
That's so kind of there you go. Kind of steep as a tourist, as a agent there.
What? Oh, she has something else to say.
At first, my mom said, "All right, we're going to get paid like $250 and you can have like $20. And I was like,
I didn't say that.
No, you said like $50 or $20, barely. And then I said, no, no way. We're splitting half. End of discussion.
Right. But
because it wasn't really fair if she got $260 and I only got $20.
Right. But then they upped your salary. Okay. Yes. So then you're actually getting more than that. So
Cora's one of the great negotiators. She totally got from $20 right, to $100.
I mean, what if you were with someone on a travel right and they said that they were only going to give you 50 and that they were giving 200 and that they get 260?
Wouldn't you call a mom tax?
A mom tax, that's right.
What's
going on here?
And I'm going to have to give her an expense sheet for all the stuff that we bought for her on the trip, like her Ripley's Believe It or Not book, right? Is that $25 going to come out of your salary?
I bet $25.
All right, like go back to your Legos. Let me finish that podcast. Yes, so in the end, she's going to be getting about $250.
Wow, nice.
So, I just want to say, Jen, that Lindsay Lohan's mom was like that, and look how she ended up.
Well, when we actually saw the numbers come in, I agreed that she could have half, but she has to split it up into, she gets, you know, she usually does a third savings, a third spending money, and a third for put away for charity. So she will get to do that with her money.
Excellent.
All right, let's move on to our picks of the week, because it's time to do that now. And I'll actually start it off. I've been using the Parrot Zik headphones for quite a while. I bought them in O'Hare once. I remember going through one of those Brookstone shops, and I just thought they were the coolest headphones. They were noise-canceling Bluetooth headphones. I think they're the first ones on the market back when the Bose headphones still had wires and everything. And I recently got a pair of the version 3 of the Parrot Zik headphones. And they are fantastic. I've been traveling with them on my last several trips. The battery is significantly longer. I even went and bought a spare battery so I can bring that with me. So it'll last on pretty much any transoceanic flight. Maybe not some of the super long ones, but if you have a spare battery, you probably will. And it also has an optional cord, so you can actually plug into your armrest or the video thing in front of you on a plane, and you can listen to stuff there in noise-canceling goodness. So the Parrot Zik headphone, Z-I-K.
Cool.
Chris, what do you got?
Well, first of all, I'll put a link in the show notes to my son, who's our oldest, first work on the Amateur Traveler. He did episode 3 of the video podcast, which was also repurposed his sixth grade report on the on Italy. But in terms of links that will actually help you, I had to update I have a page on my website, which is like 25 different ways you can book hotels. And I added one recently, Ooh. Which is roomkey.com. And Roomkey is interesting. It will find you cheaper rates than you can find on, like, I know Gary and I tend to use hotels.com and some of those other sites. I found cheaper rates on Roomkey because you have to be in the hotel's loyalty program to take advantage of these rates. So it's a way for the hotels to give a deeper discount to their loyal audience. So if you're in the loyalty programs for hotels, and you might as well because they're free, you can get a cheaper rate sometimes, at least. You should compare it at roomkey.com.
Okay. Cool. You got anything for us?
I sure do. So I was listening to Matt and Marilyn talk about taking care of somebody's house, and it reminded me of this resource that I used to look at and I used to subscribe to many years ago, and I checked it out. It's still available. It is totally old school, and it is called caretaker.org.
Oh, yeah,
I've heard
of that.
It's the Caretaker Gazette. It's been published since 1983. But it's still live. They have a current date on it, which was smart of them considering that the website is so archaic. But www.caretaker.org, and there's a subscription fee. And what you do is you can have a listing or for yourself as someone who can take care of people's houses or properties around the world, or you can have your house taken care of. So it's a really neat house sitter and property man. You know, if you own a property or you need a house sitter or a pet sitter or a property sitter, it's a neat matchmaking service, and it's totally old school and a newsletter, and it's just really cool.
Excellent. And Matt and Marilyn, do you guys have any picks for us this week?
Do you say picks?
Tips.
Do you have any picks. Travel tips? It could be a destination, a book, a gear item, a website, anything you want.
Well, considering we are in Italy and we are house sitting right now, we would suggest that people can try trustedhousesitters.com. That is where we found our house sit. We have been in Italy for a couple of weeks, and we'll be here for a couple of more weeks. We are taking care of two greyhounds, and they are amazing. And we're in Via Regia, which is in Tuscany. We're right on the water. Unfortunately, it's winter, so it's a little brisk, but it's really, really amazing, and we love it, and we can't wait to use it again.
Now, is this kind of like something where you get paid, or it's something where it's a free exchange?
You know, I knew once I stopped talking, I should have mentioned this. Yeah, it's free. Like, you don't have to pay any rent or anything. Sometimes you have to pay for utilities. That's very rare, I think. But yeah, it's very free for you. You don't have to pay anything.
And so how long will you be there? Like, what's an average time that you get to stay at somebody's house?
It can really vary. You can stay for one night, or you can stay for a year. It really depends on the places you look, the times that you look at the website, and et cetera, et cetera.
All Great. Right. Let's wrap things up then. Chris, what is new on the Amateur Traveler this week?
And this week or since we last did a show?
Either, you pick.
Well, this week we are doing a show the show just came out this morning on Northern Chile. But we've had done a couple other ones since we last recorded, including one on my trip to Albuquerque is up on the site as well. Went to the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta, which was spectacular. There's some video and blog posts up on the website as well. But definitely, it was on my bucket list, literally. I wrote a bucket list in 2010, and this was on it, and it's now crossed off and was absolutely a tremendous experience.
Chris, were you on the ground or in the air?
Yes.
Oh.
We did get a chance to do a balloon ride. That is difficult to do if you are not a member of the press. You need to book in January for the Balloon Fiesta, which is in October. And there's a link to that in at least one of the articles I wrote in terms of where you would go to book if you wanted to do a ride at the Fiesta. There's a standby line. They get like maybe 8 people off the standby line in a given day, but really you need to book early if you do want to do that. But you should. Oh my gosh. It's so amazing going up with 500 balloons, 500 to 600. I've heard two different numbers there.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
And what's new on the travel or the Passport Travel Marketing Podcast?
Oh, gosh. The last one we did was with Michigan, Pure Michigan. They've won some awards for things they've done in social media, and we wanted to talk to them about what they were doing up there because they have some social media followers that compete in numbers with places like California, for instance, that have a lot bigger budget and, you know, are certainly better known as travel destinations. And so we had them on talking about what they're doing right.
Excellent. Jen, where can people find you online?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I have started doing my new Jen Leo Travel Club website, but I've had to put it on hold because my Bitcoin website and my Bitcoin ebook is going to launch this week. So I'm putting all hands on deck for finishing that up. So yes, I have a new Bitcoin website that's coming up and a new ebook. So I'll be able to launch that this week.
Just hit like $1,000 or something?
$11,000.
So you're not going to be on this show very much longer, I assume.
What are you talking about? No.
Well, I don't know. You got all this Bitcoin money coming in.
I don't. I should have a pretty good year, but after my Bitcoin raised up, I put it into some smaller other altcoins. And so I'm expecting those to grow this year. So that is very exciting. But more importantly, I'm building a website to help people who are non-computer, techie programmers, financial analysts. I want to help everyday people learn about Bitcoin. And so that's what my site is going to be focused on. And then after we launch that, I can go back to the Jen Leo Travel Club, where I'm going to be helping, again, everyday moms and stuff with their vacations and going on mother-daughter and family travel trips with Cora.
Okay.
A foot in each space.
Matt and Marilyn, where can people find you online?
You can find us online at our website, which is wordswithwinos.com. And you can find our podcast episodes on iTunes, Libsyn, and Stitcher. And we're also on many social networks. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Pinterest, and Twitter. We are called Words with Winos everywhere except for Twitter. Just write words with Winos and an underscore.
One thing to know is that Apple would prefer you use the term Apple Podcasts instead of iTunes, and you do want to make sure if you're a podcaster that you change the references on your website if you want to be featured by Apple. That is something apparently they're looking at, according to the Libsyn podcast that I listen to. So just FYI, start talking about it as Apple iTunes, which is where you can find This Week in
Apple
Travel.
Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. Yes, sorry. Oh, it's all the wine.
Right.
All right, then. Until next time, make sure to get outside and may the odds be ever in your favor.